Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Ramble.
Heather, you slag. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. I am not Zach Diddy Kornfeld.
Neither am I.
Neither is you. Welcome to the show. This is the podcast where we review your favorite Guilty Pleasures movies and TV shows. And hey, because of that strike,
yep,
we're doing a different movie today.
We're doing foreign films.
This is technically a foreign film.
It is a foreign film. It's British.
Yeah, it is British. And this came from the listeners, I think. Right, Rainey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This week we are talking about Angus Thongs and Snogging.
Perfect Snogging.
And Perfect Snogging.
Yeah.
This is a British film. I'm your host, Kelsey Dara, and with me, as always, Rickety Rick Bernard.
Yes, it's Gary Bernard. How are you? I'm all right. I'm a little I took an edible last night, and my main thing with as I watch movies on edibles, I get a little bit of a hangover sometimes. And so I get a little bit of like a cloudy mind. And so I'm a little, I don't want to say scatterbrained, but I'm somewhere.
You're here. Everywhere all at once.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
I hear you. I'm going through a breakup. I am unwell.
Yeah, she's unwell.
So this film was a little silly, goofy, fun time both of us wanted to
Wanted to text. I was like, Kelsey, are you okay? Are you okay watching this movie? I mean, after the synopsis, I guess we'll get into it. But this was, this had some tropes.
In case you haven't heard of it, which I certainly didn't, and when Rainey kept putting the title of this film in the group chat,
we were like, which movie is it? Are we watching Snogging? Are we watching
Angus?
Are we watching
Thongs? It was a lot.
I mean, I watched it on a plane 5 years ago, and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anything else about it.
Okay. Let's be clear. It is great.
It
spoiler
is.
Alert. But yeah, let me go hit you with the synopses. Forgot to mention our zaddy is out of town.
Yeah.
So it's just us today, guys. Mm. Nothing.
Just the boys.
Me and Rick can't do on our own.
Yeah, we got it.
Fully capable. Here we go.
Dad's not home.
Angus, Thongs and Perfect Snogging follows a 14-year-old Georgia as she tries to find a boyfriend while also organizing her 15th birthday party. Just a classic coming of age problem.
Yep.
Starring some really, I thought, fantastic young actresses.
Yeah.
Nobody I had ever seen.
No, because they're all British.
Yeah, but don't they eventually make their way over the waters?
Sometimes. I mean, we got it with the lead man.
He someone?
Yeah.
Who
Aaron
is
Taylor Johnson is Quicksilver. In the Marvel movies, he is...
he's in Kick-Ass.
He's Kick-Ass, and he's Kraven as well, Kraven
Holy
the Hunter.
Holy shit. I would have never put those two together.
He was just on Bullet Train.
Oh, my
great,
God.
Great actor. Fantastic actor.
So, what is your relationship to coming-of-age films?
I love every single one of them.
Every single one.
I think most of the ones that I have seen that are not like... too Disney coded, I will fuck with heavily. So like, you know, Juno, which is kind of not that, but still coming of age.
In a
I feel like aggressive way. Yeah, an aggressive
you're a mom
coming
now.
In. Your mom.
That's like quick coming of age.
You really have to come of age now.
You're of age. Yeah.
And the baby inside you is reminding you of that.
You're growing another human life.
Oh, what else? Superbad is my favorite movie, I think, of all time.
Yeah.
And that is a huge coming-of-age movie. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, 21 Jump Street is also in that same vein of just, like, revisiting childhood, which is, you know, just, like, what would I do differently if I got to go back to high school?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I love that genre of film, mainly because when I was in high school, nothing happened. And just,
oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
So like, you're like reliving through these films.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this last night, like what makes a good coming of age film? And I think that this nailed a lot of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When I first saw like the Nickelodeon title card, I was like, oh, God damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
not
yeah.
in the mood yeah. for this. And then immediately, it was like for 14-year-olds?
Yeah.
This was a pretty grown-ass movie.
It was
movie.
A grown-up movie. I mean, when I saw Thongs and Perfect Snogging, for one, I don't know British slang, and so yeah. I thought snogging was sex.
No.
I was like, all right, well, this is going to be a fucking...
Oh, Lord.
Rainey likes the horny movies, I guess.
Well, Rainey does like the horny movies, to be clear.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, all right, well, let's get into it. And then realized it was 14-year-old girls. Yes. And I was like, okay, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But even still, you are seeing shots of...
Thongs.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
tons of kissing.
Right.
Parental divorce trauma.
Ooh, oh, like, my God.
I was immediately thrown off by the way this was shot was very, like, pop bubblegum.
Yeah.
Everything from sort of the costuming,
yeah.
the cadence of the way yeah. the girls existed in the world.
Right.
But it reminded me, like, 14-year-olds are little, like, raunchy, they're horny little, balls of
and that's,
bitch.
I think, yeah, I think that that's, like, fantastic. I think yeah. that is the best way to portray 14-year-olds because
yes.
they're horny little monsters
yes.
that just got out of, I think the big difference between middle school and high school, or I guess secondary school
yeah.
in this fucking case.
Oh, nice.
the big difference is that your hormones are fully awakened.
Yes.
You are fully a horned up monster
yes.
and you are trying to touch everything that moves.
It's like shaking a soda can and you can't open it yet.
Yeah.
Because
right.
you shouldn't be having full, you know, penetrative
right.
sex yet.
Right, right, right.
You're shaking that soda can.
Yeah, it's shaking up.
You're
it's,
becoming aware.
It's you're aware. You're
yeah.
aware. And you were aware in eighth grade. And you're like, I'm in eighth grade. Let me, like, slow down.
Here
I feel like the big difference between a ninth grader and a 12th grader is stark. There is, like, it's, like, a huge, huge difference between, I remember, I was, like, when I went into a freshman year, I was, like, wow, I am fresh out of middle school.
Yeah.
And in 12th grade, I was like, I am thinking about college.
I am old.
I am old. I am not old, but like way more mature
of a person. I feel my back pain.
Yeah, I feel it a little yeah. bit. And for whatever reason, those, I think that in this movie, that was very, very well portrayed between
yeah.
Our lead and the
got
the
yeah,
guy the
exactly.
fraternal twins
I
fraternal
mean,
twins.
Let's talk about it. One of my first pleasures, and like I don't know if the UK is just doing teenagehood different, but I love that they cast goofy looking
yeah.
awkward
yeah.
teenage girls
yeah.
as our leads. We have Georgia, who this is based on a book, which I didn't
yeah.
know, which
based
is
off
cool.
of two books apparently.
Oh,
yeah,
look at you doing your research.
It was just on the front in the
oh,
credits.
Cool.
Yeah.
She plays this very like confident girl
yeah.
to begin with. She's very confident in her quirkiness.
Yeah.
She's focused on her friendships. Yeah, she's like boy crazy, but she's
yeah.
she doesn't care. She's being silly, goofy.
Yeah.
And what you see unfold during this film is like as she gets introduced to crushes and boys, she becomes very unstable.
Yeah.
She becomes very insecure.
Yeah, because she's like, I kind of don't want to be boy crazy, but my biology is telling
can't help
me, yeah, my biology is telling me to be boy crazy, but it's ruining my life.
Yes.
It's like slowly ruined, and I love that shit.
Yeah.
I loved that so much. You really like from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, you really do feel like she grew up.
Yes. You watch it.
You
well,
watch
even
it.
In the costuming and things
yeah.
that they started with her, like very, and this is a throwback. I think it might even be too old for Rainey, but y'all remember Limited 2?
No.
I know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would, by
oh,
the way, if they decided to bring Limited 2 back right now as like millennial women.
They would make
women,
so much money.
Because it's
probably.
All, imagine like all the nostalgia 90s, like
yeah.
puffy sandals, blow up furniture in your room. Like
okay.
tank tops, crop,
yeah.
little baby
tees. I bet
tees.
Gen Z girls would get that.
Correct.
It would eat that up too.
Yeah. So you start with her being this very like Limited 2-esque style.
Yeah.
And as she starts dating boys, she's more aware of like, well, how do I wear this shirt? Right. Like, look at my boobs. I don't want them to be too big, but I want them to be able to hold a pencil between them. Yeah. Like, there were just so many moments that I was like, oh my God, we did that.
Yeah. Okay. So this is one of my notes. I was like, I'm learning so much about women.
Like, through these 14-year-old British girls.
From these 14-year-old British girls, I didn't know about the... First of all, calling them bazoomas, hilarious.
Hilarious. Wait, but why do you call them bazoomas? Because when they flop out of a t-shirt, they go bazooma, 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 bazooma.
That's so, like, insane. That's what a crazy thing. And then making your hands numb and then touching your boobs to make it feel like someone else is touching
them.
Didn't
you guys do that with your hands jerking off?
No.
That's like the classic... If you sit on your hand and then jerk yourself off, it feels like someone else is doing it.
Yeah, I think that that's like a good Family Guy joke, but I don't know if dudes actually did that.
And I don't know who wrote this. I'd love to know who did write this. Like, was it a man or a woman? I'll be so fucking pissed.
It was a woman.
Okay, thank God. Yeah. I was like, I'll be so mad if it was a dude.
Yeah.
But there were things between this group. There's like four girls, but really one main best friend throughout that showcase really... the psyche of a 14-year-old, where one of my favorite scenes in the beginning was when her and her best friend decide, okay, we're going to go hit on these new boys that just got to our school. They are like One Direction looking, like older. They definitely look more mature than they are.
Right.
You kind of see them grow up into that.
And this is what, they grew up into that. And I applaud them for this, is that her personality was... rewarded.
Yes.
And her sense of being was rewarded. And I don't think we do that in the States media. Mainly because we keep on casting Anne Hathaway. Stop. Like, if you're trying to bring home the point like they did in that Greta Gerwig movie over
that
the
we
summer.
All love.
That we all loved. If you're trying to bring home that point, you cannot cast someone who is conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can make them look as bad as you want or whatever. It's not going to work out. Anne Hathaway always looks bad. There's no, you know, bad. The first time I used bad, it was with 1D. The second time I used bad, it's with 2Ds.
Capital.
So it's so refreshing to walk into this movie and you're just like, oh, yeah, this is like a child.
A couple of scenes that stand out to me as pleasures is... the first one being when they go decide that they're going to go talk to those boys.
Yeah.
I loved that, first of all, they were approaching them.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just, don't forget your script.
Fucking pull up.
You're gonna go in there, act like it was a total surprise that I also walked in here. Like, we used to do that. We'd be like, okay, so then you're going to say this, and then I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just so real the way they tried to make an interaction with boys like natural, but then it became such a disaster, obviously.
Yeah.
And my favorite part was when they're walking home from that first interaction with the boys and they're analyzing everything the boy said. They were like, he said, see you later.
Yeah.
Do you think he actually means like, see you later? Like, when is later?
Yeah. And they're like analyzing the pause in between later or like how he
see
said
you later.
See you later. Yeah, the emphasis on you.
Yeah.
It was like, see you later or... see you later.
Like, we used to, I mean, I think it's also just a product of having nothing else going on in your life when you're 14 like that, besides school and maybe a sport you're in. But like, that's what we put all of our whole ass energy into was like dissecting every, and maybe that's where my anxious attachment style started. But
it probably happened with your mom.
Exactly.
I mean, if we're looking at the science.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Which she worked 7 days a week. And then my second favorite scene
before we move on from that, second favorite scene, keep that in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
They like overanalyzing what people say.
Mm-hmm.
With me, it was texts. So like, it was like, you're jumping into the text world, like right as I started like talking to girls. So analyzing texts also set the foundation for writing.
Oh my God.
Because you're just like, all right, well, I need to, this doesn't make sense.
It has
this
to be is, funny. Yeah, it has to be like casual.
Like cool. It's like, this is how I talk and blah, blah, blah. And so like over editing and analyzing text messages, I feel like is a bigger leg up for.
Oh, we had that.
Yeah. For
at least.
Oh, yeah.
The
at least
space.
You can. at least you can go back through and be like, okay, well, this didn't make sense.
It's a good point because this came out in 2005, I believe. Yeah. So like I was 15 and I didn't get my first cell phone till I was late, almost 16.
Yeah.
Which back then was fucking normal, y'all. Yeah. Now you get an iPad in preschool.
Right, right.
But that was those interactions, those awkward, that we didn't have social media to like flirt over DMs at a safe distance first. No. Like you just had to dive in embarrassment first.
It's a very scary time.
It was a privilege.
Yeah. Yeah. To be the last people to talk to people without the internet, it does feel... It feels like a badge of honor in a weird way.
That's the word I'm looking for, of honor.
It's just like, you guys don't even know how easy you have it.
We couldn't stalk our crushes.
We couldn't stalk our crushes.
No, we couldn't
Nobody's fucking updating where they were.
No.
You just had to guess and hope to God that it wasn't with like another boy.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And like the way that the two, our main character and her best friend would use each other as communication. Like, okay, so when you're hanging out with Robbie, make sure you drop that.
Right.
And like, you really did used to have to rely on your friends to like spy.
Yeah, give me the fucking alley-oop. I need this.
The wingman.
What's going on?
We were arguably better wingmen in like 13, 14 years old than I am now. Now I'm like, my friend wants to fuck you. Like, are you in or out?
Well, that, I mean, you're just an adult.
Oh, yeah. There's no Riz with like, my,
it's just like, all right, is this cool? Are you in? If not, go fuck somebody else. Yeah. I
don't care about your life. And then I yell at them, and they're like, why are you yelling at me?
Yeah. And it's just like, I have an anxious attachment.
Yes, exactly. So thank you.
Your second favorite scene.
My second favorite scene was in the sleepover scene, where it's the four best girlfriends, and they do this thing where they're like, okay, now that we're into boys, we need to know if we're hot or not. Don't you want to know what other people think about you? Yeah. And I'm like, No, stop it.
What this are you guys doing? This is not going to end well.
Yeah, like they all four of them were like, you know, they had their quirks, but they all liked themselves. Yeah, they weren't like, you know, in Mean Girls where they're like, my pores are huge. Like they hadn't been tainted by the world. Yes, they were reading the teen magazines, like how to kiss, what to do like that. But they didn't hate their bodies yet.
Yeah.
And they decide, okay, we're going to pass around pieces of paper for each of us and we're going to grade our looks. Yeah. So like, what do you rate my nose? What do you rate my teeth? And of course, our main lead character gets a lower score.
Gets fucking obliterated.
She gets a 4 for her nose.
That poor child. And they were like, you got a big nose and a big mouth. And it's like some shit like that. They gave her super low scores. let's get a jump start on that low self-esteem.
Yes. Coming from your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which like I was trying to remember how I felt about my friends in that age.
Yeah.
And like I was like, oh my God. Of course we did that internally with each other.
Fuck.
This is so
insightful.
Because it's fucked.
Yeah, because I don't know about the inner workings of girldom. As as I am earlier explained, I learned so much from watching this movie. Why would anybody do that? That's so hurtful. But I guess like you would rather hear it from your friends.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ.
I know. That age and that like friendship at that age is so crucial because I remember having a friend in high school who like started to have a boyfriend before all of us and then like started having sex before all of us. And we were as equally jealous as we were terrified, as we were grateful someone was going through it before us. And then I became the last person in my friendship group to ever kiss a guy. I mean, at that point, I basically had sex with girls, but like, I didn't discover that till much later in life. But like, then I became the late bloomer, and the differences between us grew. And I think they did a really good job of that in this, like showing what establishing basic, like, unfortunately, very heterosexual relationships at that age can do to like a friendship circle too.
Yeah, that's actually really fantastic, because like there was like that vicariousness, I guess, between the two girls, but also what you're saying, like highlighting the differences, is I feel like is so crazy, because you know she figured out about, or her friend Jazz found out about boys, and then later she was just like so obsessed with boys.
Yes.
And then now she's like, you know, this is what guys like, or whatever. Yeah. Or like, this is what being in a relationship is like. And that means that I can't hang around you guys as much.
Oof.
Which hurts, you know? It hurts. But then you're always like flashing back to Georgia, right?
Yeah,
Georgia. And like her whole idea around, why are we trying to grow up so fast and then going home and then dealing with our home situation, which is...
What a story. I mean,
Jesus Christ.
Break it down for us.
Okay, So Georgia, she has a little sister and then her parents, who are very in love with each other. And I feel like this storyline was so fucking well done. Yes. I'm not coming from a divorced family. And so, she meets, one of the twins that she likes. And then she finds out that, his parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. And so she goes back home with that idea in her head. Here's her parents arguing about how her dad is going to New Zealand for work. For a little while to see about a job prospect. Mm-hmm. And then he gets that job and he's like, we can move to New Zealand. And then her mom is like, no, I probably don't want to do that. I don't want to break up the family and all that stuff. And then she starts hanging around a interior designer who walks around, very attractive, very conventionally attractive. We see her ogling at him all of the time. His
wearing
shirt is off.
Low cut shirts,
all that stuff.
But imagine that at
14. You are seeing this and you are like, oh my God, my mom is trying to fuck this guy while my dad is not
around. While my dad is, who she loves. She has a very close relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
And then she's like, as Georgia, our main character, is going through trying to get a boy's attention and like develop her womanhood, her mother is having this like existential, like, oh my God. She's thinking her mom is also trying to seek the attention of men outside of the marriage.
Yeah.
And like
absolutely.
To watch that as a 14-year-old.
And it's that whole, her whole relationship, the mom's relationship and Georgia's relationship with watching the mom and dad like kind of like drift apart mirrors her relationship with
her friend
and the boy that she's trying to see, who is played by Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, Robbie.
Yes. And so you're like, as it like ebbs and flows, everything else ebbs and flows at the same time, and you're like, God damn it, this poor child is being put through the ringer.
Yeah.
You know?
The hormones at that age just make, and I've said this so many times when we're talking about like this type of movie.
Yeah.
Everything at that age feels like the biggest fucking deal of your life.
Right.
At least for me. Like at the fights I had with my friends were the most, oh my God, dramatic. Yeah. The breakups with the guys were the most horrific.
Yeah.
Like the teacher yelling at you was the most embarrassing. Like everything is at a level 10 of feelings. And this girl is having it all condensed down into like 1 week.
I think like. Yeah, you just catastrophize everything.
Yes.
I feel like, and I think that catastrophizing everything is childish.
Yes.
And it is something that everybody should work through in therapy. Amen. For sure. But like everything in this movie was like, I'm trying to think of the word or the phrase. It was just lost in translation.
Mm.
A lot of stuff was where, you know, she was... she was making out with the boy for practice. Mm-hmm. And then he was just like, oh, she likes me. Look at how much we were into each other. And then he misread a situation.
Yeah.
And then he tried to kiss her, and then they fell into the bushes. And then her crush saw that, and he misread a situation. She's misreading the situation with her mom and this interior designer. Yes. Like, it was just so many of those moments that are also weirdly subversive. Mm. And it was, like, subverting, like, expectations. I felt like there was a lot of moments where I was like, oh, this is gonna go this way. And then it went the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool.
I mean, unexpected from a movie like this.
Yeah, the relationship between her and the crush, Robbie, like, they, you know, make out in the pool, which had me, like, very, I was cheesing super hard.
I couldn't believe that. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So Robbie, our guy,
Aaron
Taylor Johnson or whatever his name is the hottie, a part of a pair of, I guess, fraternal twin brothers.
I guess.
That moved to school. And he has a girlfriend named Lindsay, who is blonde, big boobs, which we later find out she stuffs her bra.
Yep.
She is like your typical grade A hottie.
Yep.
And Georgia is determined to break them up and show Robbie that she is the better person.
Yeah.
And
which,
well,
she was just like, you know what? I'm actually gonna take your guy.
And you know what? I also, this is what reminded me that this was a movie in 2005.
Yeah.
Is because as soon as they find out Robbie has a girlfriend, the group of girls fucking hates Heather, the girlfriend.
Yeah,
they are like, we're gonna ruin Heather's life. Yeah. We are not girl gang. We are not girl supporting girls yet. Yeah. Like, we grew up with women being enemies to each other. We were not thrilled for each other. We didn't know how to be okay with that back in the day.
Yeah, we don't do one-on-ones at all.
No.
At all.
So we find out about Heather and Robbie's relationship, and Robbie starts to hang out with our two main leads because his brother is now dating Jazz, Georgia's best friend. And so Georgia gets to, like, by proxy live through Jazz's relationship with the brother, but she also just so desperately wants Robbie. So she devises this plan on, like, how to break them up. First ammunition is she knows that Heather stuffs her bra because they go spying through her window one night, which is, like, terrifyingly creepy. And, like, don't do that, y'all.
They spy a lot.
Yeah.
Then the
next is that she's going to use Robbie and her connection of love of cats to, hence where the title comes from, Angus is her cat. She's going to pretend that Angus is missing and ask Robbie to help her. Very innocent plot that turns into them going on this, like, enchanted day date where Georgia ends up really just learning a lot about him and the divorced parents, and she gets to be herself. She's kind of quirky and kooky and, like, just a teenage girl, which was really refreshing to see. And Robbie realizes, like, this isn't the type of girl I'd normally go for.
Yeah, but
she's not blonde with big boobs. But man, I'm starting to feel something for her.
Yeah.
And eventually Robbie cheats on Heather
because
he makes out with our girl, Georgia, in the community pool, which if that was in my town, Heather would have been done, found out in 2.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, because we all know each other.
Yeah, no way that's happening.
Yeah.
And while Robbie doesn't immediately break up with Heather, our girl Georgia decides she's going to make Robbie jealous any way she can because that's what she learned.
Well, she's trying to get back at him because he didn't call her.
He didn't make up.
Like,
yeah, he didn't break up with Heather.
He didn't break up with Heather.
And so she thinks that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's like, look what I'm about. Look how okay and hot I am without you now. And this is where we kind of start to see her performing that older, more grown woman, dressing differently, acting differently. And, like, she starts to grow up through this process of, like, not actually being herself.
Of heartbreak. Heartbreak will mature you very, very, very quickly.
Whew, I have new wrinkles as we speak.
I'm so sorry.
I am so tie-tied. But, Robbie, what did we think about that actor portrayal of a guy
from
a guy's perspective especially?
I think that it was pretty spot on, pretty solid. I feel I don't, the more interesting thing or the thing that you pay attention to more is the female friendships and just her in general. So I wasn't, like, really paying attention to him. I was just like, oh, okay, cool. It's just, like, the guy that you're going after. But I will say the line of him saying, I just didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings,
aww,
is very, very, very true. With, like, especially at that age, where you're just like, when you realize that dragging things out is hurting someone way more than cutting it off immediately.
Yeah.
Could ever be.
Yeah.
So that was the most accurate part, but everything else I was like, okay, cool. This is a,
I did wonder. I was like, what is it about him that she likes besides that he's hot?
Yeah.
And he's in a band. Like, it was all kind of aesthetic, which is also accurate for that age.
Yeah.
You don't care what that person's really
not
about
really.
Internally.
No. But okay, so I gotta say, man, Georgia, she's got game, bro. Like, what? I think
the confidence.
She could pull most men.
Yeah.
She could pull most men by just like walking up to him and be like, hey, we'll probably date later, but I mean, don't worry about it right now. But I'm just telling you, we're gonna fuck around.
Yeah.
And then just walk away and you're just like, what the fuck just who and the fuck was that small
you were
girl?
Like, I never thought about her before today.
Yeah,
in
right.
That way.
Right, right, yeah. right. So I mean, as I think about how women tend to not have game, which is very, I think, is a very prevalent and big problem in our community.
Yeah.
Watching this movie was a breath of fresh air where I'm like, okay, look at her pulling up.
Yeah, like, look what happens when women do have game and, like, confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like,
yeah,
confidence is a learned skill.
Yeah.
It is not something you were born with.
No,
it takes practice.
Yeah.
It takes trusting yourself. It takes liking yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Big, Ooh. Big issue. Big thing.
Yeah.
And she liked herself a lot.
Yes, which I did enjoy.
Which is very cool.
In this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Something we're skipping over that we have to address is, just like the plot said, a whole part of this movie is revolving around her 15th birthday.
Yeah, it is.
And from the moment this movie starts, it makes it clear that Georgia wants, and just listen to this, you guys, for her 15th birthday party, she wants her parents to rent out a club, an adult nightclub, to have a DJ, a party that she can also invite boys to.
Right, right, right.
At 15?
At 15 years old. This should have been like either a sweet 16 party or just tell me you're rich.
Holy shit.
Just tell me you're rich. Because, like, the way that this is also lightly normalized in media is just showing that people are richer than all of your friends are richer than they give.
They think, because it. I was just like, first of all, is this what's normal in the UK? Maybe I just in the UK that's what they do.
God, I hope so.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty sick.
But what parent is going to allow a bunch of teenage children, underage, to be in an adult nightclub at night?
Yeah,
with members of the opposite sex and grinding and booty dancing. And
I guess in high school, maybe people are more loose.
You can't get into a club in America until you're 18.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess you can drink
when
you're
18.
Well,
if you rent it out, you know, that could be, you could rent it again, lower the age range.
Yeah. And this is a normal thing because we also find out that Lindsay, Robbie's girlfriend at the time, is also having her 15th birthday party at the same weekend. She changes it to be the same day once she finds out that Robbie likes her. And it just blew my mind that I was like, bitch, I think it was a big deal if we could, like, get a limo to take me and, like, four friends to the hibachi restaurant down the street.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Oh, my God. I really want to go to the bridge. Like, can I get a ride there or something like that? That was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Growing up in, like, middle school. But, yeah, I don't remember anybody having, like, a club. I remember, actually, it was a lot of house parties. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to these house parties, you see how your friends are living.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just like, oh, God damn.
You have a pool.
You have an infinity pool.
Oh, bitch. An infinity pool?
An infinity pool overlooking the hills.
Like kids these days don't realize when infinity pools came out.
Yeah.
That was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
you see them everywhere. Now it's like, if you don't have an infinity pool, fuck off.
Yeah, because the fucking influencers have ruined the infinity, the appeal of the infinity pool.
The appeal of the infinity pool. What other pleasures did you have? I have a guilt that is up in and itself turns into a pleasure because this movie really did wrap up.
Yeah.
The way it ended, everything went according to plan.
Everything
just worked out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And I wanted that out of this movie, but this was like, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't, the bow at the end was like, layered with velvet and like diamond crusted. And it's just like, okay, this bow doesn't feel good.
It
didn't feel like the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Because the way that they were setting it up, especially with the mom's relationship, is that the mom was going to get found out and then she was going to like tell the dad and all that stuff. But it just turned out that the interior designer was gay.
Helping get the club.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, but you were still very attracted to this gay man.
Yes. You
were hitting on him. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. maybe that's, what their marriage consisted of was when daddy's away, mommy can play. Like, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know their lifestyle.
What would the great Olivia Rodrigo say? Every boy I like is gay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classic. Man, I've been listening to that album.
Oh, I'm sure.
On repeat.
God damn. The bow was insane. Everything kind of wrapped up in a way that just It's not that it didn't make sense. It just wasn't what the movie was telling you. It wasn't the lessons the movie was trying to teach you.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, she, not to spoiler, but spoiler alert, she ends up with everything she wanted, from her parents staying together, to getting the club, to getting the guy, to embarrassing Lindsay in front of the whole school.
Yeah, dad got a promotion
in the country,
not New Zealand.
Yeah, and it all just kind of, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how much lesson this is going to teach her, although we did watch her grow up and learn she needed to be herself and not hurt others in the process of getting the guy. But then she embarrasses Lindsay and pulls out her chicken cutlets in front of everybody. And I was like, that's going to fuck her up for the rest of her life.
The rest of her life.
Yeah. You don't recover from that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Because you are definitely, I don't know what Lindsay's situation was, but she was acting out because of something.
Yeah. Her home life didn't seem very stable. Robbie was the only thing she had going for her.
Yeah. this movie made me appreciate Greta Gerwig more. I think the way that Greta Gerwig will take this style of movie and bring it to like a modern, prestige take is very fun and amazing because, her award-winning movie that I can't mention, the ending of that with just her talking to her mom and just being like, you were right, I'm so sorry. And then it just ends on that and you're like, fuck. Like, that's what I wanted out of this one. I wanted
based on a book. They didn't have the liberties to write whatever they wanted.
Exactly.
Was this both books in one movie?
I believe so, yeah.
I kind of want to see a sequel.
Yeah,
exactly. I want to see like her junior year.
Yeah.
Robbie's off to college, discovering his sexuality. She's alone.
There it is.
She's discovering her sexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She meets back up with Lindsay and then they have a.
Ooh, she's got to apologize and then it becomes the movie Do Revenge.
There you go. Last pleasure or my biggest pleasure, I guess. At one point, she calls Robbie a fitty. And ooh. I want to bring that shit back, baby. I want to bring that into, like, that is, so you're
he
British.
Is proper fit.
Yeah, you say you're fit or
he's
whatever.
A lush.
You look good.
I love
a
that.
A lush. But calling someone a fitty. Fitty? Yes.
Because it could be so many things.
Yeah.
Fitty's cool.
Fitty. I like calling someone a fitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the British slang in this was slanging.
Top notch.
Yeah, it just made me realize, like, how much slang there was in high school. Did you ever say grody?
Yeah.
We had like grody and like we would say like, what's that, brass?
Brass?
What's that, brass?
No, never heard that one.
That one was like pretty big. And we would say like, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a big one.
That was Ying Yang Twins.
Yeah, Ying Yang Twins. Okay. Are you ready for some fun facts about this movie?
Yeah, I'm fucking ready for some fun facts.
Holy shit.
I know.
The first one?
I know. And I stumbled into that and I was like,
wait, okay, okay, wait. Is this, let me guess.
Okay.
Let me guess.
Okay.
I there is something that I know.
What do you know?
That the lead, Georgia, is married to Rupert
yes!
Stewart. Yeah.
Oh my God.
They have a baby.
How did I not fucking know that?
Rupert Grint, yeah, she's married to Ron Weasley, guys.
I'm deceased.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, it made me, I was very excited when I found that out.
Because you know that character that she was playing as an actress at 14 is who she is in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. And she was like, I'm going to fucking pull the biggest redhead of all time. It's either him or Ed Sheeran.
And she went
for Rupert. Back?
I mean, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And they were both child actors, like stars at that age. Yeah. Like they probably have a lot of.
Yeah,
wow.
She can fucking pull. I keep on.
Dog, you did say that.
Yeah.
Okay. The film has earned.
She reminds me of Florence Pugh.
Ooh.
In the same way where I'm just like, Florence Pugh is out here.
Cool.
She's sick as fuck, man. And she's pulling.
Yeah.
She is like, yeah. I feel like she will walk up to you and do the same thing. We're just like, we'll probably fuck later, but I mean,
I'm busy right now.
Yeah. I'm busy right now. Maybe in a year?
Yeah. I'll see you when you're ready.
I'll see you in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, bet. And then she just leaves.
It's the confidence. It's the aura, the space
of like just walking and someone notices you immediately.
Oh,
outside of the fact that you're Florence Pugh.
Yeah, and I've always said Rupert Grint also. Super hot.
Really? Yeah. I saw an interview with Ed Sheeran and I was like, oh, you're a lot cooler than I thought you were.
You're an Ed Sheeran apologist.
I thought Ed Sheeran was like this like Miltos type of like hunched over kind of guy. But he's like, no, I'm just
I gotta check him out. I feel like I have a stigma around Ed.
Oh really?
But I don't know. Maybe it's unfounded.
Yeah.
Here's a couple really cool ones. The writer director Gurinder Chadha also wrote Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
Which checks out because Bend It Like Beckham, another classic coming of age.
Yeah.
The film has earned over $14 million, which includes $10 million from the UK alone, which is very cool.
On a budget of what, do you know?
Oh, I don't.
Let me look it up. I get it.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, who played Robbie, is rumored to be the next James Bond.
Yeah. He's not going to get that.
Oh, okay. this one's really good. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Actress Georgia Henshaw, who played our main girl. I fancied Tommy Bastow, who played Dave the Laugh, like Dave, the guy who she plays. She was like, who didn't? We met up 5 years later and ended up dating for 8 months.
Wow.
They dated IRL.
Dave is the one that...
Who she's using to get back at Robbie.
Yeah. Again, another guy she pulled.
Mm-hmm. I thought this one is really interesting. The book on which it's partially based, Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging by Louise Renison, is number 35 on the American Library Association's list of banned books.
Oh, my God.
From 2000 to 2009.
It's banned.
Number one was the Harry Potter series.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
I think this is like a heavily, America. That's
probably like a heavily Christian thing.
Yeah.
Because I remember, Harry Potter was aggressively banned in the Christian community.
Yeah.
So that's probably like a Christian organization.
Wait, what was the rationale for that?
Witches.
Witchcraft.
Oh.
Yeah. The devil. Dark arts.
Yeah.
Dark arts.
You know how they are. All right. It is now time in the episode where we decide, is this movie a guilt, a pleasure, or a guilty pleasure? Garrick.
Oh my God.
What say you?
I think this movie is an absolute pleasure. I think that this is a benchmark, I feel like, as far as coming of age movies starring 14-year-olds.
Ah.
If you are actually trying to portray what that life is like and what that age is like, this is one of the shining examples. Mm-hmm. I think that they definitely hit outside of the or punched above their weight with this one.
Yeah.
And they didn't really need to. They really only needed to like kind of like touch on a few points, have like the goofy soundtrack in the background, have like the crush and all that stuff, and then maybe they get them, maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they were going after your parents' perceived relationship at any point in time.
Yeah.
It was just like all of these like more adult tropes.
Yeah.
Were fantastic. And I think that like definitely pushes it up into like the light pleasure. Light pleasure area.
My instinct was to want to give this a guilty pleasure because it is bubblegum in some areas.
Yeah.
But I think because they accomplished what they accomplished, I have to also give it a light pleasure.
Yeah.
It teeters the line. I had my computer open when I first started the movie and I was like doing work at the same time. And I found myself closing it and watching the movie.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I was not expecting to really like be into right. the storyline.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
didn't think I would care.
Right.
Therefore, I'm going to have to give it a light P.
A light P. Yeah. Gotta put that lowercase P on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we doing
my pleasures?
Yeah. I've got one that I am currently reading, as I mentioned, going through a breakup, and in these moments of absolute pure chaos, anxiety, and depression, I find that, like, in anything in life that I don't feel secure with or understanding of or feel very out of control with, learning about the psychology of something helps me understand it. So whether it's, like, rejection from a work thing, or, you know, when I was having panic attacks, I got really into like the science books about like why the central nervous system does what it does. So in the same vein of having this breakup happen, I wanted to understand like the psychology of attachment and breakups and why I repeat patterns and yada, yada, yada. And I stumbled across a book at a bookstore called Becoming the One. And there was this quote that was like going viral on TikTok the other week that was like, the love of your life should be the love of your own life. Like the love of your life should be how much you love your own life.
Oh, shit.
Rather than like the love of your life should be the love of your life. Like, you know, the words are a little confusing.
Yeah.
It's like a play on words.
That's cool.
Like the love of your life should be the love of the love that of you have your, for your own
your
life.
Your own life.
And the book, The Becoming the One, I think is written by a woman who started a company called Rising Women. But this book is really insightful about attachment patterns, why our brain does the things that they do. In the moments that I have felt totally out of control and out of my body and unlike myself in the last week, I've turned to this book to find really awesome tools and understandings. So to anyone going through one of those things, whether you're lost from, you know, switching jobs, moving, whatever, this, if you just need like a reconnection with yourself again, highly recommend Becoming the One. What's your pleasure, Rick?
Okay, so this isn't like, this is something that has already passed, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And so this isn't something that I can like recommend that you go do.
Okay.
But this was like a week, 2 weeks ago, while he was in town, Chance the Rapper was doing Acid Rap, the 10-year anniversary, and we watched him just do all of this. I think that Acid Rap is probably the most successful mixtape of all time.
Wow.
While also, I think it's my favorite. I think so.
Wow.
As far as like just bringing someone from nothing to like absolute stardom.
Yeah.
Because you can't sell mixtapes.
No.
But I feel like that album was the soundtrack to my 20s.
Whoa.
You know, it was like such a huge fucking deal mm-hmm. for me. It is attached to a friend of mine that is no longer here. Mm. And so like seeing him perform all of my childhood essentially was just so special. And then he's also a fantastic performer.
Yeah.
I feel like he gets a lot of not slack, but a lot of
flack.
Thank you. A lot of flack in general because you know, he had like a stint of like not so great projects or whatever, or songs, not even like projects because of just the one. But yeah, seeing him live is something that a lot of people should do. And I feel like, especially if he does this tour again, it should
Where was it? It was at
the Forum.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was great. You know, it's a very, not very intimate venue, but it's intimate enough to where, you know, you can like see everything.
Yeah.
He had like pyrotechnics, like a lot of shit that rappers
don't do
or don't need to do. He was doing.
I didn't even see anyone posting about this or anything.
Yeah, it was just like when I bought his the Acid Rap on vinyl, you sign up to like his newsletter, and then he just sent it out in a newsletter.
Damn, that's sick.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was the real ones.
It was for the real ones first, because he'd always been like an anti-scalper person, mm-hmm. and so it was always like a direct to consumer type that's of guy. Sick. And I mean, you know, it's baked into his music where he was a mixtape independent artist for so yeah. long. But yeah, that's definitely somebody to go see. Cause you know, you're seeing somebody put forth an effort. They have like a live band behind them, all of that sick. Stuff as a rapper. He's great.
Damn. That sounds awesome. And I'm going to keep an eye out on that.
Yeah.
Rainey, you got any My Pleasures?
Well, actually I have a question. Okay. So I have, I guess one, but when you talk about like the soundtrack to your 20s, what do you remember about? Cause I'm in the heart of it, 26.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you like remember about it, and what are your like reflections? You guys are out of your 20s, right?
Yeah. I'm 33.
32.
What advice would you have?
Don't enjoy it. Like, does that make sense? Like, people are just like, oh, you gotta enjoy your 20s. It's gonna fuck. No. I mean, no. Fucking build yes. shit. Build like, yeah. Go. You are the energy that you have.
Yes.
Is going to go away. You yes, are going uh-huh. to get tired.
Yes.
And it sucks, and it happens, and it comes for us all. Yes. You're gonna get tired, and the ambition that you've been like, you know, chilling on and like basing, like kind of just laying into, and like I can just kind of cruise on the fact that I have enough energy to be ambitious. Mm-hmm. That's gonna go away. And so all you're left with is how much do you want the thing in your 30s? And mm-hmm. so you have to actually like put forth an effort to do that, rather than in your 20s, you're just like, who cares? I'm doing it. I can kind of put my head down. The idea of putting your head down is harder in your 30s because you're a little bit more tired.
I would say too, and this like kind of maybe even ties back into like the type of movie we watched, that like remembering that age is when this started for me. Mm-hmm. But a huge, and it's not even a regret, but it's just something I often think about, is that I wish I had quit drinking earlier in my 20s.
Yeah.
Because I spent so much fucking wasted time being wasted, nursing hangovers, paying for mistakes made when I was drunk, my whole social life revolving around booze and dating and partying, and like, just a little piece of me is like, for sure, party in your 20s, because you're going to get tired quick. And you don't want to have your party time. You don't want to like have your party bone in your 30s.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But like, just reevaluate your relationship with alcohol and think about how much time it takes up and consumes over your 20s. And like, just try to balance that.
Yeah.
Balance it, because it was so unbalanced in my 20s. I was just, it was all about drinking and partying. So. Yeah. That would be my advice.
How did you I'm sure you've talked about this on other podcasts, but like, did you just sort of like be like one day you were like, I just can't anymore?
I never had a rock bottom the way a lot of like alcoholics have like one big moment, like a DUI or something that does it. I was arguably the most successful, most like monetarily successful in my most drinking era. And that's, once I realized that that was the actual problem, was like, I don't think I'm ever gonna have a rock bottom necessarily.
Oh.
Like, it's going to be up to me. I think I was just waiting for something terrible to be like the thing that cut me out from drinking. And I was like, oh yeah, no, nothing's coming.
Yeah,
I have to actually do this myself.
You just have to decide.
Yeah, and it did kind of happen like out on a bang. It was Pride weekend in West Hollywood. So I definitely did have like, I was also fresh out of knee surgery on a bunch of painkillers and had a bender for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it was just like the realization of like, oh, holy shit, no one and nothing is coming to stop me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to be the one.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're okay. So also, yeah, in your 20s, nobody's helping you.
No.
Nobody's going to help you. Nobody you really do have to realize that you are alone in this world very, very, very soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can mainly only rely on yourself. Of course, nobody gets anywhere by themselves. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, rely on yourself.
Oof.
You really, really have to get that in your head as early as possible.
And the relationship patterns you're making in your 20s is going to follow you into your 30s.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Be okay with being alone.
Be okay with being alone.
Practice your secure attachments at that age.
Yeah. God, please. Because I do say this on stage. It's like... I spent most of my 20s trying to figure out who I was, and then I got into my 30s and I was like, who have I become? You know, like that's, I feel like that's what, you know, it should feel like, but in a more positive way.
Yeah. And it does get better, yeah. I think. Yeah. Like, even though I'm literally going through one of the worst times of my adult life, I would much rather do it now than in my 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean? Because you just have more tools. Like
yeah.
More,
yeah.
Yeah.
Every breakup in my 20s, I would watch. God damn it.
You
would watch a movie with Mila Kunis and Jason Segel over and over and over and over. Consistently. Mm-hmm. Like I would end it and then watch something else because that's the only movie that perfectly portrays getting over someone.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, well, that's all we have for this week, y'all. Yeah. Zaddy Kornfeld, we miss you. You can follow him at
Corn Diddy on all the things.
Thank you. I'm Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
I'm Garrett Bernard on all
and
the things.
And until next time, Heather, you slag.
You slag.
You slag.
You fucking slag.